Hello, and welcome to the Should I Go See It podcast, where every other Friday we take a deeper dive into the one-sentence reviews on shouldigoseeit.com. This week we'll be discussing Captain America Brave New World, Companion, and September 5. I'm your host, Bill George. With me today, as always, AJ Rebecca and super producer Craig Stanton. Gentlemen, hello.
Greetings.
Hi.
How's everyone doing?
Back off a double bye week, a back-to-back bye week.
Yeah, a little extra time away. Apologize to the viewers. Glad you're still with us.
Needed that rest.
But we're back.
Yeah, what happened? How did we fuck that up?
A little bit of a scheduling snafu, a little bit of life getting in the way. I mean, AJ, you were away as well, which is going to make for fruitful content in this episode. So I think it was worth the wait to get you back.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thank you.
You know, we don't need to dwell in the past. You know, life moves in one direction, AJ, and that's forward.
Sure. Did everyone have a good Valentine's Day?
Yep, sure. Mine was excellent. Yes, thank you for asking.
Perfect. Craig?
Spent it on the dirty streets of Philadelphia watching the Eagles Super Bowl parade.
Wow. So romantic.
Wow. I mean, but I bet you KP wouldn't have it any other
way. Sure wouldn't, nor would any other self-respecting Philadelphia person.
If you weren't already married, that would be a proposal situation, I feel like.
Oh, God. I'd stick my knee right down in that mud. Nice. How about you, Age?
I was on my way back from Disney on Valentine's Day.
Right, right.
Which we will talk about, but just a lot there to unpack. But we're going to have a whole,
segment
dedicated to it. But I did watch an adult movie. That didn't sound right. I watched a non-child, how do I phrase this?
I watched a movie.
Yep. Yeah, sure. I watched a movie for grown-ups. I watched Conclave.
Conclave.
Yes.
Conclave.
All right.
The fucking Pope. 10 out of 10.
Wow. He loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Big Conclave fan, this podcast.
We're big Conclave family over here.
Yeah.
The Tooch, Ray.
Yeah, we know you love the Tooch.
Oh, everybody was just acting their bloody wanks off, and it was just a hell of a time. The only thing that got a little bit, the end was a little bit Shyamalanian for me.
Yeah, I don't know that they stuck the ending as much as I would have liked, but I still, hell of a journey.
Craig doesn't seem too...
I thought the same thing. I thought it was like a little too cute. It was like... It's not a full like, oh, you thought I was this, but it turns out I'm that. It's like, you thought I was this, but it turns out I'm sort of something, a third option.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, all right.
Weird. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Kinda, sure.
Yeah.
Like, statistically, I can't knock on not it likely, like, but not impossible.
There's a lot of layers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of layers there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the whole idea that, you know, God the creator makes no mistakes. You know?
The thing that I feel like didn't ruin it for me because it didn't feel like the entire movie, even though the entire movie is about electing a new pope, it did not feel to me that once they had done so, that there was this huge buildup that needed to be like paid off per se. It was like, it's like the friends you made along the way to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't like, oh, what's the big reveal? You know, it was just kind of like by that point in the movie, I was like, this was a great ride. Like whatever happens from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're smoking a cigarette, and you're like, that was great.
And then it like turns out that there's like some funky backstory, and you're like, huh, okay. And then
then
you go to bed.
But the dialogue and the performances and the look and the music, like it's just a good movie. It's a good movie.
Great time.
One of the best lines in that film is when when Ralph Fiennes is talking to the Tooch, I believe, and it was like, some are called to shepherd the flock, but others are called to manage the farm. And I was like,
yeah,
God damn.
Some great writing in that movie.
Hell of a job.
Just phenomenal.
Yeah. We loved
phenomenal.
It.
Speaking of great writing, one last thing about Conclave is I've been seeing these clips of like a table read of Conclave going around the internet where it's like Ayo Edebiri, BJ Novak, and Brett Goldstein, and like a bunch of like comedian types on stage, like there's an audience and they're just doing a table read of Conclave, and like Ayo Edebiri has like the nun like headpiece on, and like, and fucking Brett Goldstein has like a little Pope hat thing, and like I don't know where they were, why they were doing this, but it, like the clips of it are very, very funny.
I'll check that out. That's
it makes no sense. Like, I don't know. I just like, it's like chaos, but it's a thing that happened.
So AJ, in addition to this adult movie, not adult film, adult movie that you watched.
Yep.
Watch anything else?
Yeah, I watched a whole bunch of Disney movies. So after the park each day when the kids were winding down at night, we would pop on a movie. I watched four Disney movies. I watched Toy Story 2, Ratatouille, Hercules, Aladdin, and then the 30th anniversary live at the Hollywood Bowl Lion King special. Directed and shot by our good friend. I got you turned on to Paul Dugdale.
Yeah.
The guy who does all the concert films. He did that
one. The Adele show, right?
Yeah, he did the Adele. He's done like Coldplay. Any big production in the music space he does or has done.
Except for the biggest one, which was the Taylor Swift one. But many Paul other awesome ones.
Not do that. Yeah, he's a shit. Toy Story 2, still one of the greatest animated movies of all time. Hercules, one of the most underrated animated movies of all time. Aladdin, still kind of racist, but I dug it.
I personally love Aladdin. It's my favorite animated Disney movie.
It's fantastic.
I think it's got the best mix of music and straight up comedy. Just overall, I just love it.
And then Ratatouille, the fact that they've not given a sequel to that film, I feel is a borderline crime against humanity.
Oh, I don't know. I love that fact that it has stood the test of time as a standalone amazing creation, because Ratatouille is in like my top three Pixar movies.
I know, but
it's like that and WALL-E and Inside Out. Like, that's my list.
You would think that they would have the backing of just greenlighting a second film, no?
I guess it's got to be a story. Like, what is there left to say? I think they said everything they needed to say with the first Ratatouille.
You could incorporate the two.
Yeah, Rat.
All right. I mean, that's easy.
And then you got Ratatouille. Ratatouille.
Mathegan. Mathegan. And then the Live at the Hollywood Bowl, I completely forgot about this, but that was the show that everyone was up in arms about, that Kanye West's daughter played Simba and saying, I can't. Just can't wait to be king.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
This is not a controversy I'm familiar
with.
Remember
last year, the internet was like on fire because Kanye West's daughter got to sing the part of Simba. You don't remember this?
It
was literally
describing
all over the internet.
I got nothing.
Everyone was pissed because it leaked the video of Northwest singing at the Hollywood Bowl for this Lion King show. And everyone was like, holy shit. She is truly an awful singer.
Oh, it's like,
how
a
did she get this
situation?
You don't remember any of that?
No, I don't.
Oh, anyways.
Ask one more time if we remember, just to be sure.
Do you remember last year when Northwest went viral? No, they celebrated the 30th anniversary. It was like a mix of clearly a live concert, but also like a little behind the scenes. And then like a retrospective of like all of these people. You know, how did they get the job? You know, how were they cast? What did they know about singing before? What is like, where's it taken them now? Like, they had great interviews with, you know, Nathan Lane, Jeremy Irons, and then some of the people who created I don't want to call it tribal music, but like the African music that was in the background of The Lion King.
Right.
And like how that was composed and how they mixed it together. And it was just like really well done, except for Northwest. If you remember last year, she went viral. But it was good. I truly enjoyed it. It was a quick watch. It wasn't too long, maybe an hour, hour and a half, but really well put together. But yeah, it was good.
Nice. Great.
Boys.
Love it.
What do you got?
I rewatched Interstellar. Woo. Let me tell you.
That seems heavy.
It's been a while. I'd like to keep at least 2 years between viewings so that it still packs its potency, because no movie emotionally affects me quite as strongly as Interstellar.
Sure.
And it's been a while. And so, and it started to come up in a lot of discourse lately because it was the 10-year anniversary in November of 2024. So I've been kind of like itching to watch it.
Jonesing.
And
2024 Caroline was the year that Northwest Kanye West's daughter
yep,
went viral.
And Caroline had never seen it, so got her to watch it for the first time with me. And it was great.
Did you wear like a ski mask to hide the tears that were just...
No, I prepped her in advance. I said, you need to have the wherewithal to watch a grown man weep because I will ugly cry at this movie. And I did.
Sure.
And sci-fi is not really her genre, so she was a trooper, and she watched it, and she said she liked it. Now, I did tell her also in advance that even if you don't like it, I will not suffer any slander from Interstellar in this house, so lie to me. So she told me she really liked it, which is great. And yeah, so very great time. It's just, no movie makes me feel like that movie makes me feel. Like, a gun to my head, if I had to pick a favorite movie, I think I have to say it, Interstellar. Like, I can't not at this point in my life.
Wow.
Already looking forward to 2 years from now when I can watch it again.
Is there a reason why you didn't get tickets to the 10-year IMAX release?
There were only so many. Like, I think Providence might have been like the only one near us that was doing it. It was very limited. And they were, every time I did look at tickets, because I think they did have it maybe in Boston Common for a week or two. Every time I looked, it was sold out. Or like front row was the only thing left. Like, it was insane. It also made a shit ton of money.
Sure.
And broke records for like IMAX re-releases because it was full every time they showed it. Because the movie's absolutely phenomenal.
Is that all over now?
Yeah, that was only a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So missed that. But if it comes around again, I will definitely try. Anyway, so that is what I watched. Craig.
Just a couple of things. I watched your Sigsy pick of the year, The Wild Robot.
Nice.
I did fall asleep briefly in the middle.
Not nice.
But I feel like I got the gist. It was a good time. Didn't quite feel the emotional punch, but I was also watching like by myself, just like late. Like, I don't know. It was on Peacock, I think. So I was just like, you know what? Why not this? But it was a good time. And then the other thing I watched, I just wanted to alert our audience to, was... or maybe I should save this for Netflix and Bill, but the trailer for the 2024 Boston Red Sox Netflix doc dropped
right
a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's like a minute long, and it basically just shows the first baseman for the Red Sox, Tristan Casas, having like a mental breakdown because he grounded out in a game that appears to have been in like May. So I don't know like where they're gonna pull storylines from this thing. It's like a very kind of boring, and like, I don't know, the Red Sox were just like a 500 team who didn't really do anything interesting, and they might even trade the player that most of this documentary is apparently like centered around, which is Tristan Casas. So that would be interesting if that that happened. He's kind of like a weird outspoken sort of like funky, I don't know. He's just a weird dude. So they like, I think he's happy to talk to a camera whenever there's one pointed at him. So I think a lot of it hangs around him. So April 8th is when that comes out. Trailer seems fine. I don't know. You can relive the 2024 Red Sox if you want.
They were literally a 500 team. They were 81-81 last year. That's wild.
And they're exactly 500.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
All right. In math, in the news, AJ, in local news, area man, AJ Rebecca.
Yeah.
You are fresh off a trip to the Magic Kingdom, happiest place on earth, Disney World.
Sure is. Yep.
Obviously, a lot of movie and podcast connections there.
Yeah.
Take us through your vacation, what you saw, what we should go see if we visit Disney anytime soon, what we should avoid. Tell us everything. Mm-hmm.
Should I go visit it?
Yeah. I haven't been since I was 6 years old, so I have no idea what's going on. So catch me up.
Well, where do you want me to start?
Logan Airport.
Should I pull up? Should I pull up my Amex balance first?
Yeah.
All right, let's start here. Like you, Bill, I have not been to Disney since probably, I was 10 years old, so 26 years.
Sure. Okay.
Right? And things have changed drastically.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
From a planning standpoint, we all know the prices are outrageous. So, you know, it was like batshit. Let's start there.
Okay.
Second thing, they make you do everything on your phone. So basically, like, you buy your app, you buy your tickets. We did it through like AAA to get like a penny discount.
Yeah.
You go in, you link your tickets, and it's like, let's plan your day. And you give them all this information. And then the genie, Robin Williams, comes out. And he basically like plans what he thinks would be the best day based on like character experiences, parades, rides for him, rides for you, rides for all of you. And then spits us out. And then they're like, hey, dick, while your wallet's still out, just so you know, the best way to do this is you need to buy a lightning pass for each one of your members. And basically okay. what it's happening is you buy a lightning pass and then you can pick three rides at a time. And they give you a time slot to show up. And then once you've finished one of those rides, you can go back in the queue and then you can try to pick out where your next lightning pass would be. So you can basically skip the line and do that. Mm-hmm. Now, in theory, they've already gouged me for $1,500. Now they're gouging me again to spend $150 per person per day to skip the line. That doesn't guarantee you an actual time to skip the line.
So needless to say, you did it.
Like, you got it, right?
You have to. You basically have to. But
and this is all, isn't this all on bracelets? Aren't they, don't they give you bracelets?
I have my Apple Watch. So you can just, you can just jam that in. So basically the whole day revolves around you finishing a ride or being on a ride and then going on your phone and refreshing it to see what the next experience lightning lane you can book to skip the line all day.
Or if you, or you can just stand in a queue.
You can, but some of the busy ones like Tron and Splash Mountain, they get so busy where they just say like, nope.
Pass only.
They'll send you away. Max capacity.
Interesting.
And furthermore, Susan, rides like Tron, Guardians of the Galaxy, Rise of the Resistance, you need to pay a separate premium Lightning Lane pass just for that ride, which is an additional $20 per person per day.
Got it.
Oh, man.
I mean, the mouse is so far up your rectum at this point, he basically can control your mouth, you know, like a oh boy. I'm inside you.
Okay.
So that's what it's like every day. Now.
Okay.
I can open the floor to questions. No. Go.
I have questions about the rides. While we're on the rides element.
Yeah,
here.
Let's go to rides. So that was the tough part. So like everyone knows it's going to cost a lot of money. Everyone knows it's just a lot of planning and a lot of being on your phone. But once you're there, and I know we make fun of Disney adults on this podcast, it is truly the most magical place on earth because you're in this world. Like you're in a world and nothing on the outside matters. And I think that's why a lot of people get like sucked into like the, you know, the Disney life because like you want to pay for something. I'm just going to tap my Apple Watch. You want whatever, like you do it. Like you're not looking at your phone. You're not checking the news. Like you're just immersed in this crazy made up life. And everyone's super happy. Like everyone who worked there was like the most pleasant person in the entire world. Like you want to know where like the nearest bathroom is that has like slightly wider stalls. There's going to be person. You could go up to a popcorn person and be like, can you tell me the best bathroom in this place? And they're like, oh, you know, go through there, blah, 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 blah. Like they know everything these people
know. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm opening the floor to questions.
All right. With the rides, how much... What percentage of the rides are actual physical like coasters versus things that are you're in place, but you're in front of a screen with the illusion of being on a ride? Because I feel like screens have overtaken coasters in the sense that they take up less space. You can get more people on them. Everyone that describes new rides to me, they're all screens. And I'm
they're
just
all
curious what the deal is.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are like these now. I don't know what they're called. I think they're called like trackless, but... It's a hybrid. There's like a hybrid weird thing of you being on this. I'm trying to think of, did you ever go to Universal growing up?
No.
You never went to like Islands of Adventure or anything like that?
No, I have not.
So you like your typical ride that's not a roller coaster. You're like, you're in a cart, right? And the thing pulls down and you're basically like on some track, right? And you're like moving through an environment. Those things are basically like Roombas on a floor. Like you're not connected to anything and they're all moving in different ways and they're all like dancing through the ride. So like Rise of the Resistance, you're in a cart and you don't see a track underneath you, but these like Roomba type things you're in know exactly where to go, where to pivot, and like where to go to make the ride continue.
Right, it's fucking crazy. But isn't there like Avatar? I don't know if that's Disney or if that's at like Universal. But yeah, Avatar, like you're on the flying thing, the beast, whatever it is, the dragon. But you're just looking at a screen and it's mimicking that you're flying.
Yeah, but like they do it now in a way that you truly I don't know how the technology works, but you're like, oh no, I'm in Pandora. Like they got it down to a science where like I'm flying a banshee over Pandora, and you can't the only way you can convince me otherwise is when you look left and right and you see, you know, 50 other people like riding on this wall. But the technology that they've built into some of these rides and experiences. Like Rise of the Resistance, I texted both of you. I was like, I'm going on again. I couldn't tell what was screen, animatronics, or real life. It was that good.
That's awesome.
Like, pew, pew, like things flying by your head. Like Kylo Ren cuts through the door with a lightsaber, and that gets you to the next part of the ride where like a cast member is waiting for you. They're like, all right, load on up. And I'm like, how the fuck did that just happen? Like, I just saw a lightsaber go through the door, and now I'm here. Like, how did you do that?
It's wild, wild.
It's truly wild. Now, that being said, I think my kid, he had a fun time. He was a little too young to really like grasp everything. I would 100% go back with just adults only and just rip that place to fucking shreds.
See, this is what a character arc for you here, because
rip it to shreds.
AJ used to be the most anti going without kids in the world. Now he's got a taste for it, and now you want to go back.
I said, Sigsy outing. We should go down there.
Let's all go. Dude,
is this you talking, or is this good? The mouse still lodged in your fucking?
Oh, he's just
lower intestine.
I'm inside. You keep talking, bitch. No, I think I'm. No, I'm of sound mind and body.
Okay. Okay. Wow. What
the food was. The food was excellent. Like, the drinks were fucking fantastic. There's a margarita outside Avatar that blew my socks off.
Wow.
And they put little boba beads on the top, little fucking texture change. I mean, it literally cost me a mortgage payment for two of them, and it was green, but I mean.
Last question I have is about merchandise. I'm guessing you weren't like a build your own lightsaber guy, but did you check it out? Was that cool? Was there anything else that stood out?
Yeah, I mean, they do it well. And every place you look and turn, there's a kiosk that is selling like Star Wars Land or Galaxy's Edge. Bill, you literally think you're walking through
Tatooine, Mos Eisley?
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I'm in an episode of The Mandalorian. Like, even the way they have like tattered sheets that are like hanging above you as you walk through the alleyways, it's just immersive. It's
thought crazy. Of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, my wallet is on fuego.
Hurting
after that.
Life support.
Yeah. But yeah. Review. Should I go back? Should I go to Disney? Yes. Mm-hmm. Be conscious of how old your children are and how into Disney they are, you know?
Sure.
Like my kid doesn't care about Disney princesses or shit like that. So, like, you know, we had some rides. We had some fun. We ate a shit ton of good food. And just kind of the people watching Maron. Jesus Christ. Did I see some shit?
Yeah.
That was probably one of the best parts.
Oh, in the trenches. Oh,
the trenches. You're in the fucking... Stewart kid. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Disney.
We're going. Yes. Yeah. Disney. Yes.
Love it.
All right, Bill. Let's move on to some reviews. This week in Should I Go See It? We're watching or we're reviewing three films. The first is Captain America Brave New World. According to IMDb.com, Sam Wilson, the new Captain America, finds himself in the middle of an international incident and must discover the motive behind a nefarious global plan. Bill, is the MCU officially dead? And should I go see it?
Should I go see it? I gave it a no. And I've had a couple people tell me that's a little harsh, but I stand by it.
Wow.
Is the MCU dead? Hard to say. I wouldn't say yet. I will say the thing about this movie, the word that kept coming back to me was soulless. Like it just felt a little off, a little empty to me. Well, let me give you the background. So it takes place in wherever we are in the MCU. It's basically a sequel to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier TV show, which that TV show spent a bunch of episodes doing basically nothing. And it ended with Sam Wilson accepting the mantle of Captain America.
Sure.
So this movie follows that. He has been Captain America for a while. And then a lot of the movie is also trying to tie up loose ends from the Eternals and the old Edward Norton Incredible Hulk movie gets a ton of play in this movie out of nowhere. So like the whole movie is basically a way to clean things up so they can set up the next MCU stuff.
Didn't that Ed Norton Hulk movie come out in like 2006?
Yes. And this movie is like a sequel to it in terms of they're referencing
what?
The Hulk and the Abomination blowing up Harlem in their big fight and like bringing back characters from that movie.
2008,
wait,
by the way.
Wait.
Good guess, by the way.
Wait. Yeah. Wait. So that movie is canon in the MCU?
That feels like a retcon for the ages.
Yes. Oh, yes. Always has been.
What do you mean it always has been?
William Hurt's character from that has been in the MCU since then. But William Hurt passed away, and they recast him as Harrison Ford, which we will get to in a little. So, anyway, this movie...
You need to stop. Where else is William Hurt... What other movies has he been in?
He was in the Avengers. He was in Civil War.
He was the one trying to
get them to sign the Sokovia Accords. Like, he's been in the movies. He's been in these movies.
Oh, so we're just acting like the whole idea was just Edward Norton was recast?
As Bruce Banner, but so... When Ruffalo took over the job, it wasn't that that movie didn't exist. It's just that we're going to pretend that that was Ruffalo the whole time, basically.
Oh, that's so fucking stupid. Okay, and one last question. Is Tim Roth back as the Abomination?
No. He died, I think, at the end of that. I could be wrong, but he's not in it. There are other characters that I won't spoil that do come back from it, though.
Like Tim Blake Nelson?
I'm not going to tell you. You got to see.
Well,
there's big reveals throughout the movie.
Paxton's dead. All right, moving on. Yep, go on. Keep going. Okay. Paxton's dead.
So there's a lot of Incredible Hulk stuff. And then if you saw The Eternals, the movie The Eternals ends with this Eternal, I guess, whatever creature, being frozen and killed, I guess, in the Indian Ocean. And it's like a giant statue in the middle of the Indian Ocean that has not been addressed in the MCU since that movie. And that's been like a joke amongst film fans for a while, is like, are they ever going to address this like giant thing that's now on the planet? And this movie decides to close that loophole. So again, a lot of this movie is just cleaning up loose ends so that they can move on from it. And so for hardcore MCU people, they might really enjoy it. There's a ton of Easter eggs, there's a ton of lore, but as a superhero movie, it's the same thing we've seen a million times, specifically everything in it we've seen somewhere else in the MCU, but done better. So like this models itself after the Winter Soldier by trying to like create a little mystery. There's like a bit of a whodunit. There's some intrigue, make it a spy thriller, but it's an imitation of the Winter Soldier. It's not even close to as good. And Sam Wilson does some good fight scenes with the Shield, but we've seen those done before better. There's some hulking out in the movie, but we've already seen better fights with Hulks in previous movies. There's like nothing, zero things that are new besides some story elements, but those story elements are only there to be cogs in the MCU machine. So like there's nothing about the movie that does much for me, which is why I had to give it a no. Thing that hurt my experience, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, but you're basically forced to watch it because you need to understand how everything is kind of resolved going into the final stages of, or the next stages of what this is.
Yes. I mean, if you're really into that stuff, yes.
Which you have been for the longest time. And I feel like,
yeah, but I've given no's to the MCU before. Just because it's all interconnected doesn't mean it all gets a blanket. Yes. I got to look at each product as it is, at each film as it is.
Look at you maturing.
So I've given no's before, and this is another one. But the thing I think that threw me off the most was Harrison Ford. Like he's fine, and he actually seems like he's trying to act. He's not phoning it in, but he's still trying to replace William Hurt. And William Hurt, great actor who I've always loved, And so Ford stepping in, you know, if this was still William Hurt, there would have been this like building of this arc for this character over the years. With Ford stepping in, it feels like it's a new guy. It feels like a new character because it's so different because it's Harrison Ford. So I have there's no history to it. There's no build up to it. It's just a random new person. So it doesn't work like it would have worked if it was William Hurt. I feel like there would have been a way more better connection in history and made the movie land more. Instead, it's just I felt nothing throughout this movie because I had no connection to Harrison Ford or really anything else happening in it. As far as entertainment value goes, like, it's fine. It's competently shot and directed like every MCU movie, but it just really didn't do much for me.
Wow.
I mean, that's the crazy. God, yeah. What do you?
Yeah, I know, dude.
I don't know. Shift your writing, man. Chadwick Boseman died and they changed the writing of the new Black Panther stuff. They didn't recast him. They changed things around.
Yeah, but I feel like you're so like, can I play devil's advocate?
It's still so crazy. Sure.
They already had to do that once with Kang the Conqueror and Jonathan Majors' massive fuck up, right? So at this point, they're like, we need to tie up some loose ends without
changing
the entire playbook. Yeah, like we just got to figure this out.
Yeah, I get it.
They weren't expecting Bill George from Should I Go See It to write a scathing fucking Reddit post about, like, you know, the death of cinema.
Look, call to the bullpen.
I'm just saying.
Harrison Ford.
I'm just saying the movie doesn't do a lot. It doesn't do anything new, and it doesn't do a lot that stood out to me. Was I entertained throughout? Like, sure. Like, it wasn't bad. I was never like, oh my God, get me out of here. But it was just, like, so blah that at this point, I can't give a yes to blah. I can't.
Can't do it.
Can't give a yes to blah. Put it on a shirt. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Companion. According to IMDb.com, a weekend getaway with friends at a remote cabin turns into chaos after it's revealed that one of the guests is not what or who they seem. Bill, should I go see it?
Yes. Emphatic yes. I loved this movie.
Loved it.
From the
creators of Barbarian, featuring or starring Jack Quaid, who's taking the
he's everywhere.
Going to be in everywhere right now. Okay, walk me through this. What are we looking at? How do
First
we do
of all,
it?
It has elements of Ex Machina, Black Mirror, Westworld, like all wrapped up in this like dark comedy, a clever dark comedy. And I loved it. So the story straight for like the first 15 minutes, but it's pretty quickly revealed, as it's already revealed in the ads, that Sophie Thatcher is a robot, is an android. And she is Jack Quaid's girlfriend. And okay. So they go to a couple's like weekend away, and you find out that she's a companion android, essentially. And he can modify her settings via his phone like you could any other smart device. And then his friends make fun of her and refer to her as like a sex bot, but there's more to her than that. Mm. And by design, she does not know she's a robot, which creates a very interesting dynamic. So they're at this lake house with their friends. She does something outside of her programming. Everything goes sideways. And then there's like twists, turns, like I don't want to say anymore. But I found it just super enjoyable, super sucked in. It's bold, it's edgy. It's great. It's so great. Like, you in particular, AJ, I think would love it.
Yeah, I'm all about this. Tight hour and a half. Anything that you knocked on? Anything that would prevent you from maybe putting this in a top 10 of this year?
I think so. You know, the movie does a nice job incorporating some like modern thoughts on like AI, robots, smart devices. There's obviously metaphors about relationships. They get into like gaslighting, abusive partnerships. So like there's a lot of metaphor in it. And there are times, especially towards the end, where it gets a little heavy on that. Heavy handed in terms of the metaphor, but also heavy in terms of like a little harder to watch. Mm. And I thought that at the end, kind of mixed with like the very comedic tone that the first half took, felt a little disjointed and a little harder to watch at the end. So like I might have tweaked that balance a little bit. But other than that, I mean, I love the script. I thought it was spot on in terms of escalation. there were no major leaps that made you like scratch your head about like, why would someone do that? Like there, you know, sometimes things happen and you know that they happen because the writer needed them to happen. Yeah. Did not feel that way here. It felt like very well paced. It had momentum. It made sense as it went. It plays fair. It sets up all the dominoes for the rules of the world and then lets them play out. So yeah, some clever lines, subtle jokes, kind of like the menu in that way. But instead of skewering foodie culture, it was kind of skewering tech culture. I loved it. Big fan. Would watch it again. 100% wow. Recommend.
Yeah, love it. When you're talking through it, it reminds me a lot of Barbarian in the way that the first half of Barbarian was just like kind of comical, kind of weird, just out there zany. And then it flips a switch and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like exactly. Now I'm in it. I'm invested and I got to finish this out. But at some points I'm like, I don't know why I'm watching this right now because I'm so uncomfortable. But yeah, no.
Yeah. I don't think it goes as extreme as that in terms of like turning a corner of like just total genre shift, but it definitely gets a little heavier by the end. But no, it's great. I think they did a fantastic job.
Here's a question for you. Would you spend the $25 or the $20 to rent it?
So it is on VOD now as of this recording. I guess I would, although I think you could probably see it at a theater for less if it's still playing. I would definitely see it however you can. Like I'll buy it on iTunes for sure.
Oh, love it. Okay. Next film, September 5th, according to IMDb.com, during the 1972 Summer Olympics in Munich, Germany. Haven't we done this? An American sports broadcasting team must adapt to live coverage of the Israeli athletes being held hostage by a terrorist group. Bill, should I go see it? And haven't we done this before?
Well, we've told stories about this event, certainly, and stories about the follow-up of the event, which I actually wanted to bring up. But first, I give this a yes. It is a fascinating true story, if you're not familiar with it, as described the 72 Olympics. The Israeli athletes were held hostage. And so this movie, what it does is it tells that story, but from a unique perspective where you're only seeing the events as they unfold from the perspective of the broadcast booth. So the entire movie takes place with, you know, CBS's like sports team, who now all of a sudden have to figure out how to broadcast like hard news, which they're not used to, because they're used to covering sports. But now all of a sudden they're the ones at the event. They're the ones with the cameras. They have to figure out how do we tell this story as news, even though it's not our department. And so there's a lot of great archival footage mixed in, like all the footage from what occurred on screen is the actual archival footage. And then they have all the behind the scenes stuff that they are recreating. And it's really good. I mean, it's a tight 90 minutes. And so they are really just focused on story. There's no unnecessary subplots or other elements. Like it is just moving. Go, go, go. It's fantastic performances. I loved the film grading and the sets and the costumes. Like it really puts you right there in the 70s. Like you feel it. And so, yeah, I think it was excellent. They did a really nice job. I think it's a perfect companion piece to Spielberg's movie Munich, which might be the one you're thinking about, where that story takes place right after these events. And Spielberg tells the story of the Israeli special forces who, over the course of the following 10 years, hunted down and exacted revenge on the terrorists that held those hostages.
Fuck yeah.
So that is its own movie that takes place right after this. So like if you do like a little double feature of watching this depict the actual events and then Spielberg's movie that depicts like the aftermath, like it would be a hell of a combination watch. Super heavy, obviously, but it would be really, really interesting to watch. So no, I thought it was very good. It's nominated for some Oscars, so I want to make sure I saw it.
Wow.
And, it was good. My only knock is because it is basically a single location movie, it does get a little, even with only 90 minutes, it does start to feel a little samey by the end.
Yeah.
Because you're just kind of in the same location all 90 minutes. There's like three sets basically for the entire movie.
It's almost like a Broadway, almost like a play.
Yeah. So that can kind of wear on you a little bit. But again, that's a minor, minor quibble. Like it's a great, great movie.
Fuck, now I want to watch Munich.
Yeah. Munich's also excellent.
Watching Eric Bana just fucking rock house for 2.5 hours. fucking Mossad assassinations. Fuck yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah. I might watch that tonight. Okay. Hell of a job, Bill.
Thank you.
Great job. Glad you're back to seeing movies. It's a good look for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
God, Jesus, it's been awful. Netflix and Bill, what are we watching?
I am watching Invincible. The new season of Invincible is on Amazon Prime, animated show. It is good. The action scenes and the fights are always great. This season, though, it does feel like they're spending a lot of time on storylines that I do not care about. So I've been kind of like one of those shows that I'm starting to be on my phone while I'm watching it because it's not always grabbing me. Mm. But I'm still watching it, and the stuff that's good is good. The storyline I like, but there is definitely a lot of bloat, I feel like, in this show.
Cut the bloat.
But anyway, Invincible I'm watching, and then I watched the first episode of the new season of White Lotus. Big fan of that series, and so watching White Lotus season 3 as it goes. This season premiere does a pretty good job setting things up. Walton Goggins is in it, who's one of my favorite actors, so thrilled to see him. So is Carrie Coon, who I think is the best actress in the world. And so, yeah, very excited for this season, given the talent involved.
Have you watched an episode yet of it?
Yeah, the premiere was the only one that's
been watched. Oh, that was a premiere. I heard they got rid of the intro song.
They changed the music. I think they've changed it every time, but that season 2 music people connected with.
The wowie wows, yeah.
Yeah, so they did change it. It's much more mundane, unfortunately. But show's still good.
Love it.
That's it for me. You guys?
Craig? Oh, I feel like I'm walking through the desert every week just waiting for Friday nights to get to Severance. Oh,
yeah,
dude.
Remind me to never cry about full drops of seasons of TV again. Feels like it's so long ago since I've seen an episode.
I know, but it makes it so much worth it. Like, episodic weekly television is how it should be done. But God damn it, was Tala was one of the craziest episodes of fucking television I've ever seen in my entire life.
Nuts. No spoilers.
Are you not caught up?
No, I'm not caught up. I'm getting there.
Unbelievable, this guy. That's unbelievable.
This fucking guy.
All right.
Says he's a critic. Yeah. Critical what?
I just reviewed 3 movies.
Yeah.
So Severance is really it for me. And I'm struggling. I'm struggling.
Boys, I got a new YouTube obsession.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about it. During COVID, it was competitive eating.
Yes.
After COVID, it was high-rolling people in Las Vegas that were just doing obscene, weird shit. And I went down a wacky rabbit hole there. This time, I'm into people who restore things.
Well, that's wholesome.
Yeah. Like, hey, I found this fucking Dreamcast in a garbage bin. Yeah. I'm going to restore it. It's going to work again. Or, hey, I bought an iPod Classic. Do you think I can put, like, USB-C and Bluetooth in it and see if it still works?
Nice.
And you're like, fuck, that's kind of cool.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's kind of neat.
And then, boys, that evolved into the high stakes, insane world of antique watch restoration.
Ooh, I would watch that. No pun intended.
Dude, no music, just ASMR. Subtitles, because these guys are based in fucking Belarus or Ukraine or somewhere.
Of course.
I can't even point to it on a map, you know?
Switzerland, I'm sure.
Yeah. And they're just like, here's like a fucking 1942 Rolex that has been passed down 3 generations. We're going to do a full restore for the next 55 minutes. And I just pop a fucking weed gummy and I'm just in bed just drooling with a smile on my face. Just,
dear Lord.
It's my life.
Yeah, that's a...
Bill. And what a life it is.
Model citizen.
Oh, it's so sad. Oh, he's so sad. I'm not sad. I'm fine. All right, what do you got tickets for?
Tickets. Guys.
Greg's losing it.
Tickets. Yeah. All right, so I have tickets to see The Monkey.
Ooh.
New Stephen King adaptation.
You know what's hilarious? We kind of touched base on it last time, but it's like, you know, you talked about almost, you know, a horror movie this time, 2 horror movies last time, The Monkey coming up, and it's like, hey, you want really good horror movies? You don't have to wait till September. Just get to the throes of February and you'll...
February, yep. That's when you'll get them.
You'll be delighted.
The Monkey, Mickey 17 is coming out. I have a ticket for that. Very excited for that movie.
Yep.
And then A couple movies I plan on watching, The Brutalist and Nickel Boys, are both now on video on demand. Both of those were nominated for Best Picture, and I have not seen them yet, so I will definitely make time for those too, especially before the Oscars. And then for Netflix, a Bill, going to watch soon. This week, season 3 of Reacher begins. Now, I disliked season 2 of Reacher, but boy, I loved season 1 of Reacher. So we're going to give it another go for season 3 because each season is based on a different book. So hopefully this one's better than the one they picked for season 2. And we'll go from there.
He should fight Tom Cruise as the original Reacher. Imagine that.
Or a lot of people... A lot of people like him for Batman.
No, too big.
Too big. You don't want a bulky Batman.
I don't mind a thick boy. Like Affleck was like the thickest boy. Yeah, he was the thickest
Batman they've done. Yes.
If you go like bigger and thicker than that, like you're in like a Frank Miller type world where you're basically just a fucking egg on stilts. I don't think I can deal with that. Doesn't fit into my personal aesthetic. I don't know why Craig's laughing. Why are you laughing?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Egg on stilts? Are you suggesting that the guy skips leg day?
No, Frank Miller's Batman was just really top heavy. He was just a big, like a trash bin, you know?
Yeah. Can't have that.
I'm losing my mind.
Cannot have it.
Can't have that. I like my Batman's thick, but still slender. But
lean.
Broad shoulders, skinny waist.
Got it.
Big legs.
Got it. All right, well, that's what I'm watching.
What a week.
Sweaty hogs. All right. Okay, boys. Bill, take us away.
Thank you for listening to the Should I Go See It podcast. Make sure to follow on Instagram @ Should I Go See It.